This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good afternoon, everyone. We've been covering the progress from Washington on the Farm Bill, and it could be inching closer to reality. Leadership of the Farm Bill Conference Committee reports a deal is close, with a possible announcement this week of a more detailed announcement to follow next week, according to staffers close to the negotiations. A move towards an agreement would set the stage to allow Congress to consider final passage of the bill this year. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Pat Roberts says a full agreement depends on the cost analysis. There is little time in the lame duck session to complete the bill, as lawmakers are scheduled to exit Washington by mid-December. Still, all sides appear committed to finishing the bill this year, ahead of a new Congress that offers a change of control in the House of Representatives. Colin Peterson, incoming chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, has previously said he wants the bill done now before the next Congress, which would likely require a rewrite of the legislation. And while we're on the topic of the Farm Bill, there's one thing that could slow the committee's progress. Members of the Congressional Western Caucus issued a statement condemning obstruction of active fire management policies by Senate Democrats. The statement says the 2018 deadly and destructive wildfire season has further solidified the need for active forest management provisions found in the House-passed Farm Bill. The group sent a letter to the Farm Bill Conference Committee urging the inclusion. However, Farm Bill Conference Committee members reported Wednesday afternoon that leadership decided against any sweeping forestry title reforms, which has been the latest holdup in Farm Bill debates. More than 52,000 wildfires have burned more than 8.5 million acres this year alone. The caucus, currently comprised of all Republicans, is open to all political parties. Opposition to the House plan has said that active forest management could devastate forests and wipe out plants and animals. We'll have your local ag news after these messages. We're back here on this Thursday afternoon, and we'll jump right into your local news. Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders hosted corn and soybean plots at the farm of Adam Anderson along Route 127, just north of Butler this year, as they've done for the past few years. The plot this year was harvested on November the 3rd. The group worked with 11 agribusinesses in the local area that submitted their entries for the plots. The harvest data for corn are as follows. In first was Channel Brand Hybrid 218-44VT2P, refuge in a bag. It finished at 269 bushels to the acre. In second was Stone Seeds Hybrid 6362, refuge in a bag. It finished at 257 bushels to the acre. In third was Munson Brand with their hybrid 7228VT2P, refuge in a bag. It finished at 245 bushels to the acre. And in fourth was Wiffles with their hybrid 8646. It finished at 242 bushels to the acre. Other hybrids included in the plot were Feaster, Ag Venture, Cropland, Dynagrow, LG, and FS Envision. Overall, there were 19 different corn hybrids covering 10 different brands, while the average total yield for corn being 241 bushels to the acre with 15% moisture. Moving on to the soybean plot results, the number one soybean this year was Cropland's hybrid RX3750 at 89 bushels to the acre. In second was FS High Soy 38X70 at 86 bushels to the acre. In third was Stone Seed Group's hybrid 2RX4327, finishing at 83 bushels to the acre. And there was a tie for fourth with FS High Soy's 43X60 and LG's S3777RX, both finishing at 81 bushels to the acre. Other hybrids in the plot this year for soybeans were Munson, Dynagrow, and Agrigold. Overall, there were 14 soybean hybrids covering 7 different brands. The average total yield for beans this year was 76 bushels to the acre. And while we're on the topic of the Farm Bureau, Just this past Tuesday evening at the monthly Montgomery County Farm Bureau Board meeting, Farm Bureau Manager Katie Wilson welcomed some special guests from two local fire departments. This time, Katie caught up with Chief and Assistant Chief of the Farmersville Wagner Fire Department, who were the recipients of some rescue equipment with some help from Farm Bureau and Cargill.
I'm Katie Wilson, manager for Montgomery County Farm Bureau, bringing you a report. We're going to now catch up with the Farmersville Wagner Fire Department and talk with their chief, Jeff Brown. Jeff, you guys were also recipients of a grain bin rescue tube.
Right.
Thoughts about that and what it means to the department?
Well, kind of like the same as Litchfield said. You know, we have not had an incident where we've had a person trapped in a grain bin, but we're farmers of Wagner's in a farming community. We're almost every farmstead has grain bins on it. Sometime, hopefully never happens, but possibly will. You know, just getting this from Cargill and the Farm Bureau was one less thing that we had to purchase out of our budget every year, something we probably would not have bought. And it just, one more tool in rescue. You know, every community set up for vehicle rescue, other kind of rescues, you know, and it's just one more incident that this will help in, and we didn't have to pay for it, so
yeah,
work out nice.
Well, that's so great to hear that it's going to be put to good use, or you'll have it in case you need it. This is probably true to a lot of local fire departments. I would imagine you're pretty heavily depend on volunteers to make your fire department work, right?
Yes, we're 100% volunteer at Farmers of Wagner. So,
what's it like if you get a call, or talk to us a little bit about that?
We have about 17 volunteers currently. You know, and normally we run around 8 to 9 people that respond to a call, depending on people's work schedules, time of day, stuff like that. Call on other neighboring departments if we need more help, you know, Litchfield, Raymond, whoever we need to. And they're all the same as us. Most of them are volunteer. Limited resources, whether it's buying stuff or manpower, you know. So everybody just kind of throws in together when you can. The grain tube we got is the same as Litchfield got, so we could use them in conjunction together if we had to on a bigger incident or something like that. So it worked out pretty nice, really.
Well, that's great to hear. We also have Mike Webb, who is assistant chief for Farmersville Wagner. Mike, I talked to Litchfield about this. I would assume you've also gone through some training for grain bin rescues, if that would ever occur.
We've had training in the past, and we have not trained specifically on this unit, but we've got it planned for the next month to start our training on that. And like we said earlier, we've upgraded our ropes and all the equipment we need, harnesses to use it safely. And so we've, within the next 30 days, we'll have our training in and our actual training. You know, we all know how it's supposed to work. Now all we got to do is put it to work.
Sure. I would guess this would significantly improve the rescue time and the outcome of the rescue if you didn't have a tool like this. What would you have to use if you didn't have something like a grain bin rescue tube?
Our only means would be calling somebody that had one, like Litchfield did, or to try to drain the grain bin, which will be part of it at some point, but it'll be a lot safer with this tube.
Again, that was Farm Bureau Manager Katie Wilson with Chief Jeff Brown and Assistant Chief Mike Webb of the Farmersville Wagner Fire Department. That's all we have for this Thursday afternoon. This is Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.